Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good evening, Red Sox fans. This is Locked On Red Sox on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Gabrielle, founder of Girl at the Game. And if you couldn't tell by the sound of my voice, I am actually in a super good mood tonight, and it does have something to do with the Boston Red Sox. You are probably as shocked as I am to hear that, but it's true. I am actually excited at the prospect of the Red Sox doing something good. And it has to do with pitching. But before we get into that, I'm going to start off with a little history tidbit because I haven't been getting to do those much lately and I miss them. I hope you enjoy them. Today, in 2013, December 7th, 2013 to be specific, Jacoby Ellsbury agrees to a 7-year deal valued at around $153 million to be the Yankees' new center fielder. He played on the Red Sox championship team not 2 months before and then shocked the world by going to their bitter rivals. And of course, at the time, I remember being super upset, feeling very betrayed, thinking, how dare he do this? But think about how well this turned out for the Boston Red Sox. Not only did they lose the traitorous, injury-prone, dishonest Jacoby Ellsbury, who is now in a bitter battle with the New York Yankees about going to unauthorized medical facilities, and they are trying to recoup millions of dollars of pay that they dished out to him over the last few seasons when he was not even playing at all due to various health. But in addition, his departure paved the way for the come-up of a very young Jackie Bradley Jr., who had played part of the 2013 season, making his major league debut with the Boston Red Sox, and of course would go on to become their regular center fielder and one of the best defensive players in the history of Fenway Park. So all's well that ends well for us. Can't really say the same for the Yankees. And speaking of Jackie Bradley Jr., Red Sox GM Brian O'Halloran did say today to the media that the Red Sox are still very interested in JBJ, that he is very much, quote, on their radar. So all hope is not yet lost if you, like me, are a big Jackie Bradley Jr. fan. So aside from those two pieces of good news, the reason that I'm really so excited today is because there is finally news after pretty much 2 years of having a bare-bones skeleton crew of starting rotations that the Red Sox are reportedly finally ready to go hard in their pursuit of pitching. I know, it feels like this day would never come. How far removed we are from the glory of 2018. Sean McAdam of the Boston Sports Journal reported today that Chaim Bloom intends to be aggressive in the Red Sox quest to land a very, very impressive Japanese arm, Tomoyuki Sugano. He is basically the Japanese version of Trevor Bauer right now when it comes to a free agent arm. But unlike Trevor Bauer, he might actually be in the Red Sox price range because let's not forget, the Red Sox don't seem to want to spend very much these days. So MLB Network's John Morosi reported today that the right-handed pitcher was posted by the Yomiuri Giants. And so what this means is the posting will take effect tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. That's Tuesday, December 8th. And at that time, Major League Baseball teams will have 30 days to make their pitches, pun intended, to Sugano and his team before the 5 p.m. Eastern deadline on January 7th, 2021, which, as crazy as it sounds, is a month away. 2021, insane. And once the agreement is in place, then he will officially be a part of Major League Baseball with a team of his choosing, and his former team will get a percentage of his contract. Before I get into Sugano as a player and what he could possibly bring to the table, let's talk about Built Bar for a second, because Built Bar makes these protein bars that taste like candy bars. They are almost as delicious as the prospect of the Red Sox finally being aggressive about getting starting pitching. Here's what's going on with Built Bar. They have 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. And the best thing about these bars is that even though they are covered in 100% chocolate, they are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. And on top of all of this, they are easy to chew, which you wouldn't think based on a lot of the protein bars on the market today that basically feel like you're about to snap a tooth at any minute. It's a risk to even bite into one. Built Bar is different. These bars are great for the health conscious guy or gal. So if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, check out Built Bars. Like I said, these bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. So if you're on the keto diet, if you try to avoid sugar like I do, if you need to pick me up in the middle of the day because you feel like you're just needing a little snack, Built Bar is the bar for you. For a limited time only, Built Bar is giving our listeners here at Locked On 20% off your next order when you use promo code Locked On. So go to BuiltBar.com, get that 20% off with promo code Locked On. And if you're wondering, yes, you can use that promo code even if you are a repeat customer. You don't have to be a first-time buyer. Built Bar is giving all of our listeners 20% off with promo code Locked On because they know that once you try a Built Bar, you will want more. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off the best tasting protein bar on the market. So before I get into Sugano as a player, just wanted to give you guys a heads up that for the next 2 days on Tuesday and Wednesday, I will be playing an awesome conversation that I had with Nash Walker, host of Locked On Minnesota Twins, all about the Red Sox, Sue Lynn going to the Twins on a minor league deal after 8 seasons in the Red Sox system. We talk about all kinds of great stuff that's happening with the Red Sox, with the Twins. You don't want to miss that. So that's going to be tomorrow and Wednesday. Now, who is Tomoyuki Sugano? He is a 31-year-old right-hand pitcher from Japan, and he has already assembled quite a resume. Since making his debut with the Giants in 2013, he has won the league MVP, Japanese Triple Crown, multiple Golden Glove awards, yes, Golden Glove, not Gold Glove, and led the Central League in wins, ERA, and strikeouts multiple times apiece, in addition to being a 6-time All-Star, winning their equivalent of the Cy Young Award twice. And in the 2017 World Baseball Classic semifinals, he actually faced many of his soon-to-be either teammates or opponents, depending on where he ends up, including Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, Christian Yelich, and Giancarlo Stanton. And in that game, he held Team USA to one unearned run over 6 innings. In Japan's 2020 shortened season, he posted a 1.97 ERA over 137 and a third innings pitched, which is the third best ERA of his 8-year career. So this guy, just on ERA alone, and I know one stat doesn't tell the whole story, but based on how the Red Sox pitching has been over the last 2 years, the ERA alone has me drooling. The Cy Young equivalents have me drooling. I mean, Triple Crown, Gold Gloves, ERA and strikeout leader multiple times. I mean, this guy's resume reads like somebody from MLB days gone by, at least for the current standards of Boston Red Sox pitching. McAdam writes that Sugano possesses expert control, but his fastball kind of sits in the low 90s. But you know what? I don't really prioritize velocity that much. And I learned that from my dad, actually, because my dad would tell me at bedtime, actually, my bedtime stories were always either about baseball or Torah, because that's what happens when you're the daughter of a rabbi who loves baseball. He would tell me about Sandy Koufax as a young pitcher coming up and how he threw incredibly hard, but he had absolutely no command. He could not control the location of his pitches. And I'm not going to go into the whole story here, but the short version is that his catcher, Norm Sherry, is the one who straightened him out and turned him into probably the best pitcher baseball's ever seen. Basically, he told Koufax that if Koufax lowered his velocity just by, you know, a couple miles per hour, that he would be able to command his pitches better. And so in 1961 in spring training, Koufax is wild. He's wild. And Sherry says to him, "Why don't you just take a little bit off the ball? And like, don't try to throw it so hard. Just put it in there and let them hit it." And by the end of the inning, the story goes that Koufax had struck out the side. And Sherry told him, "Sandy, I don't know if you realize it, but you now just threw harder than you were trying to." If you have good control, it doesn't matter how fast you're throwing it. The batter probably still won't be able to hit it anyway. And that's so true of someone like Mariano Rivera, for example, where you knew what he was going to throw at you. This is what Red Sox batters always say when they're interviewed about Mariano Rivera. They say you knew what he was throwing at you. You'd seen it before. And you also knew you had no chance of hitting it. So if he has what McAdam describes as expert control, a low 90s fastball doesn't concern me at all. I prioritize control over velocity any day of the week. So this is the guy that the Red Sox are reportedly ready to be aggressive to go and get. And of course, they will have a lot of competition because, as we've seen throughout the offseason already, starting pitching is in high demand, and there's not a lot of it that's of his caliber. There are already numerous other teams around the league who have been reported as competition for the Red Sox in this bidding war, including the Yankees, Giants, and San Diego Padres, who will, of course, be without Mike Clevinger next season because he'll be recovering from Tommy John. So this is not going to be easy. But the Red Sox do have more experience than most teams in the endeavor of bringing Japanese players to their team because they've done this multiple times before, including guys like Daisuke Matsuzaka and Koji Uehara, who were each integral parts of the 2007 and 2013 championships, respectively. The Boston Red Sox are actually known for bringing Japanese pitchers to the team, and they've had incredible success with them, guys like Hideo Nomo, too. So their experience helping Japanese players transition to Major League Baseball, to living in America, that's a valuable asset, and they will undoubtedly flaunt their experience doing that as one of the centerpieces of what they do to try to entice Sugano to come here. And in fact, Daisuke still has a house in Brookline, Massachusetts, which is where I'm from, and he lives there for part of each year. And the Red Sox will probably reach out to him to either help recruit Sugano, which they also did in 2017. They actually recruited Daisuke to make a video for Shohei Ohtani. It's likely the Red Sox will do the same thing again now, having him kind of make something, present something for part of their pitch to Sugano. And also, if he does come here, they'll likely want his advice or have him kind of mentor him, just be there as someone that he can lean on, because it's just, it really is a great indicator of his time here that Daisuke still keeps a home here and has spoken so fondly about being part of the Red Sox and does these things with the organization. So hopefully their past success with fellow Japanese stars will impress Sugano. But I will say, and I don't want to get too negative here, but let's be honest, the Red Sox are not exactly the most appealing landing spot compared to some of their competitors. I mean, teams like the Padres and Yankees were playoff-ready teams in 2020, and he could be the piece that puts them over the top versus kind of slotting into a very broken rotation. You know, in 2020, the Boston starting rotation had the second worst collective ERA in the American League, 5.34, and they were tied for lowest average innings per start, 4.1, in Major League Baseball. So even though Boston, at a certain point in hopefully the near future, will have a very attractive situation for a guy like Sugano, at the current moment, they're basically asking him to come in and save the day because their current starting rotation is Nathan Eovaldi and maybe Tanner Houck and maybe Nick Pivetta and maybe Chris Mazza, but that's not exactly as appealing as joining a team that already made the playoffs a few months ago and could very well make the playoffs again if they have a guy like Sugano. I mean, do you want to be part of a rebuild or do you want to be part of a championship? The noble part of me would say, oh, come here. We can do something really amazing and turn this team around. But if I'm being honest, you know, as everyone loves to say, baseball is a business, and he might very well choose to be the guy who puts the Yankees over the top, especially considering they have said goodbye to guys like Masahiro Tanaka, who coincidentally is reportedly also a Red Sox target now that he's a free agent. Maybe the Red Sox aren't exactly the most appealing answer right now. I mean, it's kind of like trying to sell someone a house that won't have walls or plumbing for months and asking them to move in immediately, even though those things won't be ready and they'll be built around you. But that's kind of what it is. Boston will hopefully have Eduardo Rodriguez and Chris Sale back sooner rather than later in 2021. But Chris Sale won't be ready for opening day. And if Eduardo Rodriguez is ready on opening day, we don't know how he'll do. And Tanner Houck has had a really impressive debut in September. He made three incredible starts, posting a sub-1 ERA, and each start was against a playoff team, the Marlins, Braves, and Yankees. But those were three starts, and now teams are going to have all winter to figure him out. So nothing is guaranteed, especially when it comes to big pitching signings in Boston. I mean, think about it. That's how we got into this predicament in the first place, because Dave Dombrowski handed out big pitching contracts to David Price, Chris Sale, Nathan Eovaldi, and look where we are now. So I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a tough sell. The Boston Red Sox name carries some clout. They also have had a really dramatic year, and currently their pitching is pretty decimated. They're also going to probably have to ensure him that they're going to pick up more bullpen pieces to supplement the starting rotation, because no starting pitching ace wants to come into a situation where they're going to be throwing amazing outings and then the bullpen comes in and blows it almost immediately. We all know that's exactly what this bullpen has loved to do many a time over the last few years. So promising him that they're going to have people to back him up will also probably be a huge part of any deal they try to make with him. So this is Tomoyuki Sugano. He's incredible. I'm super hyped, which probably means I'm going to get my heart broken. But for right now, I'm choosing to remain optimistic about the possibility of the Red Sox being aggressive, pursuing any great pitcher. Honestly, he's about as good as they come if you listen to any of the stats that I just spelled out for you there. If they can convince Sugano to make Boston his home and they keep the current arms on track health-wise, all of a sudden, this is a wild card team. This is like a top two team in the division. But they're going to have competition for him. And it's easy to see why, because he's great. So I'm really hoping that Chaim Bloom pursues this guy more than he has ever pursued anything in his life, because it is time to rearm this team. It is time to revive this team. It is time to fire up this team. And you know what would fire up this team and fan base more than anything? A giant, awesome superstar pitching acquisition. I need it. I need it. I need this guy. Chaim Bloom, please. Hanukkah starts on Friday, please. So this has been your Monday episode of Locked On Red Sox. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at GFSTARR1. You can follow Locked On Red Sox at LO_Red Sox. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. My conversation with Nash of Locked On Twins will be up tomorrow and Wednesday. Thanks again. Wear a mask. And as always, go Red Sox.